Activist Radio is on the air. You've tuned in to the Mark Harrington Show, sponsored by Create and Equal. Mark is training a new generation of leaders to take on the culture of death and win.
You don't like abortion, don't have one.
The only thing that can be said to be objective truth is that there is no objective truth.
It does come out in one piece. It comes out in one piece.
I would argue that we certainly are not all created equal.
And now, here's Mark.
Violations, vandalism, and violence. The three V's. Violations, vandalism, and violence. That's what we're going to be talking about today on the Mark Harrington Show, your radio activist and voice of resistance here in the Created Equal Studios here in Columbus, Ohio. Violations, vandalism, and violence. Doesn't that sound like fun? Well, folks, that's a day in the life of your radio activist. That's a day in the life of Created Equal's apologists and activists as we go about spreading the news that abortion's an act of violence and calling our nation to repent for the shedding of innocent blood. So we're going to be talking about that today. The violations, the vandalism, and the violence that we face as we try to defend pre-born children. I know I talk about this often on the program, but the First Amendment is hanging in the balance. And what we want to do here, we're going to play a lot of video clips. It's going to be a lot of fun today. We're going to have some fun, okay, talking about this, even though it's a really serious subject. In order to start out, I want to go way back in time, a blast from the past. In 2013, does everyone remember the Burger King woman? Go ahead and play this first video clip of violence, vandalism, and violation. Go ahead.
Fucking dipshit. That is not what a fetus looks like, okay? It's a clump of cells at 12 weeks. It does not look like that. It's a clump of motherfucking cells. No hands are shown through that time. It's just a white fucking privileged racist fucking male that doesn't stand for women's rights.
Get the fuck out of here.
Fucking dipshit. And get that camera out of my face. Either. Fuckwit.
I want to call the police.
All right, stop. I guess I should have warned everybody of the language. By the way, there will be language in this program. It won't be coming from me. It'll be coming from abortion advocates. I guess I should have warned. That happened in 2013. Ian Spencer is the pro-life activist that you see there on that video being attacked by the Burger King woman, Victoria Duran. That made national news. We ended up on the Sean Hannity program. Fox News in the morning and this kind of thing. And it just shed light on what pro-life activists face on a daily basis, especially Created Equal because of our use of abortion victim photos. So what we want to do today, we're going to kind of, if you would, show some of the videos that depict what we've been facing over the last several years. And today we released the video from the University of Pittsburgh where a student violently, forcibly demanded that he get a piece of literature from one of our activists, Sam Riley. Go ahead and set that clip up. This just was released today. It's on our Facebook page. We ask you folks, when you watch this video, go to our Facebook page and share it on all your social media platforms. So go ahead and play this video clip. This is new video released today, violence, vandalism, and violations.
I'm wondering how your 8-week-old baby photos had ribs, seeing as ribs don't actually create themselves until about 15 weeks. So I was wondering. I want some literature. I want to spread it out. I want to help you spread it out. No, I want some literature. Can I have it, please? Can I have a piece, please? Can I have a piece of your literature, please?
No, you may not.
I can't have a single piece. Why can't I have a single piece?
Please get your hands off.
Why can't I'm not touching you. I have a right to a piece of your literature. He won't hand me a piece of his literature, sir. I want one piece.
You're grabbing
I want
my
this
stuff.
Piece. I grab that piece right there.
Don't grab it off of
him. He's been trashing her stuff and being
I haven't
a,
touched
a
anything.
And
feel it's right for your situation.
You know what I mean? We can't make
do
them have anything to do with
it. But
you know, you're free to stand around. Just don't grab that off.
I just wanted that one piece of literature. I don't understand why I couldn't have one.
I don't want
to
give
one piece right here.
I don't want to give
I think that if I am right,
he already told us that he doesn't want to have
speech dictates. that if you're giving other people things, then you have to give it to me as well. No, because no, if I may finish. According to freedom of speech is only illegal by the method you do it. And you have to do that method based equally upon all people. So if you're
says
giving
Congress
the literature,
shall make no law restricting the freedom
giving,
of speech.
If you're giving the literature to everybody and you're choosing specifically not to give it to me because I'm voicing an opinion.
Because you're being saying, violent towards me and you're grabbing my stuff.
I wanted that piece right there.
And it is, and he doesn't have to give it to you.
At this point, if you could keep your hands off of me, that would be great.
I haven't touched you.
Yes, you have. He grabbed me. I have it on GoPro. We can review it if you'd
absolutely
like.
Absolutely. Create themselves until about 15 weeks. So I was wondering.
Can you
want some literature. I want to spread it out. I just want the one piece of literature. I don't see why that's
I'm not going to give it to you. You're just wasting our time.
Right. All right. I'll just get one from the trash that most people
do your own choices. All right. You have the right to do with it what you want.
Thank you for this. I'll read it all about it. I'm sure I'll get lots of great opinions out of it. Interesting. I couldn't get it from you guys.
Do you want some?
Because that's a trash can and you guys are also trash, so I basically had to get it from the trash no matter what, right?
Do you want some?
Well, there you go. You can end the video there. Folks, this is just recently released today. You can go to our Facebook page at Created Equal and share this video. Two things real fast. Unfortunately, this student may end up being a professor at the University of Pitt. And who knows, he may even be teaching political science and civics. His understanding of the First Amendment is that if you're going to present something, literature, what have you, you are responsible to make sure that everybody receives that message equally, to the point that you have to give out literature to someone who is going to virtually just trash it. That's number one. Number two, he talked about that the babies ribs aren't visible at that stage. That's not true. At the earliest stage of pregnancy, the ribs of a preborn child are actually visible. So he's got the science wrong. He's got the First Amendment wrong. Sadly, this is who we encounter often on college campuses across the country. And it's escalating. Ever since Trump's inauguration, we're seeing more and more of this kind of attack, this kind of violation across the country. This past fall, as a summary, we faced down out of control administrators on several universities: Wright State University, University of Michigan, Michigan State University, IUPUI, and IPFW, Temple, University of Louisville. Here's the bottom line. I had to keep our attorneys on speed dial. That's how much I needed them. This is new. This is new on college campuses. And as you saw at the University of Pittsburgh, we weren't even on the campus proper, even though we had the right to be there. The university was being so difficult with us that we had to basically take the sidewalks instead of going onto the campus because we might have faced arrest. So we weren't even on the campus that afternoon. We were on the sidewalks, and that's what happened. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to fly through a few of these. Just to make my case, just this fall at colleges and high schools across the country, we have been facing violations, vandalism, and violence. Here is one of those such cases. At a Muncie, Indiana high school this fall, an administrator and also the security guards, this is how we got treated there. So I'm gonna show you a couple of high school videos where we often get mistreated as well. So go ahead and cue up that video. This is from Muncie, Indiana High School, just recently, this past October.
Get the fuck out of here!
Oh, that's not, okay. Sorry, this is the wrong one, but go ahead. Go ahead and play this. Come back to me for a second. My bad. This is earlier this year at Texas State University. Now, again, there's very foul language in this one. This is at Texas State University. A student completely trashes our display. Go ahead and play that video.
Get the fuck out of here with this bullshit, man. No, you don't. This is fucking bullshit. Get the shit out of here. Fuck. This is bullshit. No, it's not, man. It's wrong.
Now, of course, what he did wasn't wrong, trashing someone else's display. What he did wasn't wrong. This student, for some reason, felt he had the prerogative, the right to trash someone else's property on a public university. Where are they learning this stuff? Where are they learning that in order to exercise your First Amendment rights, you can trash someone else's? I can tell you, government school. Government schools, I guarantee you this young man was a product of government schools, and now he's in college at university, and the same propaganda is being taught. That is, if you don't like somebody's speech, don't engage in the marketplace of ideas and create dialogue and debate. Just censor them, trash them, destroy their stuff, interfere, shout them down. That's what we find often all across the country. Now, the good thing is this young man was disciplined. He actually, wrote a note of apologizing for what he had done, and then we were actually compensated for the destruction of the sign. So those are a couple examples on high schools. Let's are on college campuses. Now let's go to a couple of high schools. This one is at Ypsilanti, Michigan. That's the first one. I keep getting these out of sequence. In Ypsilanti, Michigan, just recently, when our activists went to the public sidewalk, keep in mind, public sidewalk is public. It's an easement. It's owned by the city, not owned by the high school. But yet, even though that was the case, and we abide by all the laws regarding that kind of thing every time we go out, despite that, this is how we were treated.
You guys are technically still on county grounds, thusly meaning that I have enforceable powers here. So I'm going to ask you to rally up your people.
Please, the sheriff.
This sort of stuff is not welcome here.
Okay. Well, this is a public street, is it not?
The street is.
Yeah.
But this right here, from the street all the way up here, is us.
Now, you can see by the video that we're on the public sidewalk in the easement. Not on the property.
So at this particular point in time, he's already given me the okay that if you guys do not wish to comply, you will be found basically trespassing. You can be arrested.
Stop right there. Stop. There you go. This is what we call operating under the color of law. Just because somebody has a badge, just because they have a uniform, just because they hold an official position with the government or what have you, does not give them the right to make up things. And that's what we find here across the country on high schools and college campuses. He said that I have the authority or the prerogative, I forget what he said. I have enforcement powers here. No, the First Amendment is the enforcement, and we have the right to go on a public sidewalk. Anyway, that's what we deal with. Now, we're pursuing both of these as far as legal action. The wheels of justice move slowly, but hopefully if we can get the high school to write a letter of apology, we'll probably just move on. But if they dig in their heels and say what they did was lawful, then we'll sue them. Let's move on. Another high school here. This is in Muncie, Indiana. This October, our activists once again were harassed by the administration and by the police. Go ahead.
I already told you, you had to leave. So take your signs up and leave.
We
or
talked
I'll
to
take
the,
them for
we
you.
We talked to the police officer.
Have you arrested. Take your signs up and leave.
We talked to
take
the,
them for
we
you.
Talked to the police
and
officer.
Arrested.
We talked to the police officer already.
Or we'll be arrested.
I was listening as well. I'm not going to argue with you. I'm telling you, shut the cameras
off. No, just do what I say. Do what I say.
But if private property, can I be here?
Sir, you don't have a right to confiscate our signs. Sir, you don't have a right to do that. That's our property, not yours. Excuse me, sir. This is not your property.
I told you to pick the property up, please. I'm taking
okay, well, it, well, can you stop taking our stuff so we can take it?
You gonna take it?
Yeah.
Right now?
Yeah.
And go with it.
Okay, even though this is not legal, we're submitting under protest. What you're doing is not legal.
Property, you're trespassing.
Sir, what you're doing is against the law. This is not legal. It is against the law. You're taking our property when this is a public road. Can I have your name?
All right, we can
Bob
end it there.
Bob Thomas.
A couple things. Again, Sam Riley from our staff, Sam Riley, conducted himself once again very professionally and respectfully of a police officer. And I think we should do that. The officer was acting rogue here. He was going rogue. Again, thinking he has the authority to move our signs, to take them down, tell us to go across the road. Even though we're on a public sidewalk or public easement, that's what he told Sam Riley. Now, here's how we operate. We will do things under protest. In other words, we will say we do not recognize what we are disagreeing with you that you say that we have to move, but we'll do it under protest because we'd rather not get arrested. We don't feel like that's necessarily going to be advantageous. We would rather be in the plaintiff position if we're going to sue rather than the defendant. So we teach our activists to abide by whatever the police tell us to do, but let them know that we're doing it under protest, as Sam did. He also, this police officer said he was going to arrest us. That's all we need to know. That is the chilling of the First Amendment, chilling of free speech, which is actionable in court. So that's in Muncie, Indiana. Finally, on the high school front, let's play this one. This was from Gahanna High School just a while back. A someone who lives in the area, a property owner, did not like the fact that we were displaying in front of a high school, and this is what happened there. Go ahead and play that video.
What?
Are you going to harass high school kids?
What do you mean?
No, stop. You're going to harass high school kids?
No, we're here to
show
the shooting.
Sir?
You will not film me at all. You don't have my permission. You don't have my permission to film me.
All right, we can end it there. No. This individual was prosecuted, and I think we came to some kind of an agreement where he would pay for the signs, write an apology, and plead guilty to the charges. Again, we were assaulted. This is assault, folks. This is violence. This is violence. We have the right to be on a public sidewalk. If people don't like our pictures, all right, the answer is not less speech or censorship. The answer is more speech. And the First Amendment was put into place, for all those who don't understand out there, was put into place to protect offensive and disturbing speech, politically incorrect speech, because popular speech does not need protected. Understand that. So that's why our imagery, video, pictures deserves the utmost protection, because of the offensive nature of it. Now, keep in mind, it's only offensive because abortion is offensive. So here's the deal, folks. As we close up the year on our college campuses and high schools, as we're finishing up this semester, we have experienced an increase of violations, vandalism, and violence over the last year. We're taking action. We've got attorneys backing us up. We know our rights. We know how to address these issues as they happen, as you can tell by the videos that we've been playing today. We can handle it, but we also need some help. And so I guess a little bit reluctantly, I am supporting the Campus Free Speech Act, HB 363. This is a piece of legislation that's been introduced into the Ohio legislature, which is going to get a hearing on November 29th. This is the first hearing that it was going to receive. The Campus Free Speech Act. Now, if you live in the state of Ohio, I'm going to ask you to support this bill. I'm generally loath to support anything that's added on to the First Amendment. I don't think it's necessary. But in today's world, with the current situation that we're under, where we're constantly getting pushed around by people, like on the videos you've seen, whether it be administrators or students or individuals, we need someone to slap them down a bit, right? And the legislature is the one to do it, because the legislature is the one that passes the funding to fund these public universities when it happens on a public university. So the Campus Free Speech Act does three things that I think are important. And here they are. Prohibits universities and administrators from taking action that limits or chills expression of any member of the campus community or their invited guests based on the content of expression. In other words, none of these safe zones or warning emails, none of that stuff. The university should not be taking sides when it comes to speech. They should remain content neutral. Number two, eliminates free speech zones. You know what those are? you can be here at this time, this place, and you can present your information this way in this little box. And that happened at Wright State University. We have a, we, they gave us a 20 by 20 space to which we could put our signs in. This Campus Free Speech Act eliminates free speech zones by declaring generally accessible areas traditional public forums for expression and prohibits the university from limiting the space of expression from within those areas. In other words, there are no more free speech zones. The entire campus is a free speech zone. And number three, prevents hecklers' vetoes by prohibiting universities from disinviting speakers based on the potential reaction, opposition, offense, or irritation taken by the speaker's approach. So if you don't understand the heckler's veto, it's basically this. They don't allow mob rule. That's how it works. In other words, if there's threats of violence or threats of protest, the university cannot pull an invitation or refuse to allow the person to speak or present based on those threats. That's a heckler's veto. It's the responsibility of the university or government agency to protect the person's speech, not shut them down so that they can make sure everybody's safe. Now, they have to make the necessary provisions and arrangements to protect their speech. This, as we've seen, has been played out numerous times at Berkeley, where speakers have been denied access to the college because of the threat of mob violence. This is the heckler's veto. And unfortunately, universities have been getting away with it. But it's unconstitutional. It's been found unconstitutional several times in court. But unfortunately, these administrators don't follow the law. They make up these own rules in their vacuum and hope that nobody tries to challenge them. Well, the Free Speech Act basically is a resolution of sorts saying public universities that receive funding from the state legislature in Ohio are now on notice that this is the guidelines that you need to follow when it comes to the First Amendment on your college. I think it can be helpful for us and other organizations like Students for Life of America, who travel the country also displaying and their student organizations, over 1,000 of them represented on these colleges, also need these protections. In fact, folks, I was going to show it today, but if you go to Students for Life's webpage or Facebook page, they have a map that they've set up where they have documented where students on colleges, where they've been violated, where their rights have been violated, where there's been vandalism or even violence. So there's an actual map of this that they've put together, which I think is very helpful and instructive to this whole issue of protecting the First Amendment. So you can go to Students for Life's website if you wish to try to find that information. It's there if you like. There's a new map of First Amendment violations that have taken place across the country. So I want to end it right there as it relates to the First Amendment and the violence, violations, and vandalism that we've been facing recently on college and high school campuses across America. And I want to shift gears a bit to what happened yesterday in the State House here in Ohio. What's happening in Ohio is historic. Ohio often leads the way when it comes to pro-life legislation. We did with the partial birth abortion ban in the 1990s. We've done that in the event with the case of the heartbeat bill, which is now introduced at the federal level. And I believe we're doing that with the dismemberment abortion ban, which has passed the Senate and now is in the House of Representatives. That's SB 145, the dismemberment abortion ban. And yesterday, it was introduced officially into the House of Representatives here in Ohio and received sponsor testimony. That means the sponsors of the bill actually got up and made the case for it before the committee. And so it hasn't received proponent or opponent testimony yet, but it has been introduced. And there are 7 such pieces of legislation that are making their way through legislatures around the country. Some are in process. Others have actually been put into law, like in the state of Texas, and have been, at least for now, are held up in the courts. But this is something that's gaining steam. if you will, and momentum around the country, these dismemberment abortion ban bills. And so we support them, okay? I support any measure, folks, that saves lives, okay? If it saves one child's life or can, I'm going to support it. But I'm also going to be supporting and have and continue to be supporting total bans on abortion, complete bans on abortion. I've done that since 2006. I'll continue to do it as long as I am fighting for the preborn. We actually have a bill that's been introduced in the state house, which I'm going to be talking about. It's Conception, Life of Conception Act, which deals with the total and complete abolition of abortion. I support that one too. I'm an and both guy. See, I'm for all of it, right? Right. And that's what we need to be. We need to be firing on all political cylinders. Nobody has a crystal ball on how to do this. We need to slowly and incrementally end abortion and save lives on the way to ending it altogether by doing both of these things, supporting total bans and also supporting prudential measures by building fences around abortion, by continuing to limit it more and more and more until we outlaw it altogether. And that's why we support the dismemberment abortion ban. And one reason why I support it, and I've done this before, and I'll do it again, is because of the educational value. Here's a 20-week baby, right? 20-week preborn child right here. This is the, the size of a baby that would be protected by the dismemberment abortion ban. In fact, babies about 14 weeks and up would likely be protected by this bill. Dismemberment abortion ban. Basically, this is what it is. It's a D&E abortion, dilation and evacuation. It basically talks about, dilation and drive. It talks about the tearing apart of a baby in utero, dismembering a preborn child, dismembering a preborn baby. And that's why when we went to this hearing, as we did when it was in the house, we had our activists, our young people, wear T-shirts that said on the front of them, "Don't dismember me. Don't dismember me." If you would, there it goes. There's the photo of the hearing room with our young people wearing these T-shirts, "Don't dismember me," with a picture of a 20-week preborn baby. To allow the babies to speak for themselves, to put a face on abortion. Because what often happens is we debate abortion like it's an issue. It's a subject to be debated. And we lose sight of the reality, the truth, that we're talking about the dismembering of human beings. And often, and I said through this hearing, and this is often the case, we talk about it in constitutional terms or in cold medical terms or clinical terms. Or legal terms or what have you. And we lose sight of the fact that babies are being dismembered in Ohio and across the country using this method. So we wore these T-shirts, "Don't dismember me." A big hit, by the way. We're having people who are asking for them now, of a 20-week preborn baby with the words, "Don't dismember me," above. Basically making the preborn child lobby for the bill to protect themselves, right? And so here's one thing I came away with yesterday. I think this bill will hopefully pass the Ohio House and then go to the governor for signature, hopefully very soon. When we talk about dismembering human beings, even pro-abortion advocates, when really confronted with the truth of what that means, recoil in distaste from what is actually taking place. How do I know that? Because I asked a Planned Parenthood representative, an activist yesterday. I said, "Well, you may support this bill on the surface because you want to protect so-called women's rights and the right to abortion. But let me ask you, if given a 20-week baby, if I were to present you with a 20-week baby and ask you to dismember it, would you do that? Huh? Would you do that?" And the truth of the matter is, what happened is her face totally dropped, her countenance. Because the truth is, even pro-abortion advocates wouldn't do that. Because they know. They couldn't do that. Because it's cruel. It's unfair. It's unjust. It's inhumane. And they know it. Down deep in the heart, they actually know it. But they would rather keep it legal so they can do what they want and live the way they choose. And unfortunately, that's the problem. Now, there have been the trolls on Facebook every once in a while. We get these outliers out there who say, well, you know, Mark, you know, if you ban dismemberment, they'll find another way. They'll find another way. And I say, well, maybe that's the case. Maybe they will. But this is the only way right now that abortionists kill second trimester children by dismembering them, the D&E method. So let them try. Let them try to find another way. Okay? At least let them try. I agree. If they're not going to kill this way, they may kill another way. But let them try. Make it. Why is it that they're fighting the bill so hard? Because they realize this is really the only way they can do it. You can't perform a D&C on a 14-week baby. Doesn't work. Can't fit through the suction catheter. You're not going to do it any other way. You have to dismember the baby. So, in essence, if you ban dismembering abortion, you're banning second trimester abortion. Let's be clear about that. And once the pro-lifers who are supporting this bill say, but you can do it this way. If you don't do it this way, we'll outlaw this because you'll be able to do it this way. If they do that, I'm out. You know, I'm out. I'm not going to say, oh, well, you know, it's not about the procedure per se. It's about ending abortion altogether, right? And the other thing is, we often hear this. Well, what about those babies who will not be dismembered, those who are killed by D&C abortions? What about them? They're left untouched. True, they are. But they were before the bill as well. The dismembering abortion ban, if put into law, doesn't make it legal to kill babies under 14 weeks old. It doesn't make it legal to kill using a D&C method or vacuum aspiration. They were already legal. Roe v. Wade made that happen, not the dismemberment abortion ban. And I've said it once and I'll say it again. Roe v. Wade is unconstitutional, not the dismemberment abortion ban or the heartbeat ban or the Ohio pro-life or the conception, life of conception bill or any of that stuff. Roe v. Wade is unconstitutional. We shouldn't recognize it. We should defy it. And that's what the dismemberment abortion ban actually does. It's a frontal attack on Roe v. Wade. And like every other piece of legislation, it will likely face court challenges. That's okay. We don't want to just pass legislation that bends the knee to Roe versus Wade, that meets the criteria of Roe. No, not at all. We want to attack Roe frontally. And the dismemberment abortion ban does that, just as the heartbeat bill does, or the life of conception bill in the state house. They all do that. And therefore, we should support them all. Because Roe v. Wade's unconstitutional. We shouldn't recognize it. We should defy it. We should do everything we can to try to pass legislation that confronts it directly. That's what this bill does and many others like it. So to those out there that want to, you know, cast stones at these kinds of pieces of legislation, you know what? Hold your guns, right? Aim your guns at somewhere else, won't you? Let's go after Planned Parenthood and the National Dismemberment Rights Action League, NARAL. They're the ones that we ought to be focusing our attention on, not pro-life activists like myself and Ohio Right to Life and others who are doing all they can, national, other groups around the country who are slowly but surely saving lives on the way to ending it all together. So anyway, that's my bit on that. If you don't believe me, I'm going to end with this. Years ago, I came before a group of people at the Ohio State House when it related to the heartbeat bill. And let me just say, you know, even the heartbeat bill saves 92% of all abortion. Who doesn't want to do that on the way to saving them all? What about all those babies that would be saved? Are we willing to just forget about them? Are we willing to allow them to die in the hopes that we can go for the one thing that might end it all at one time in one fell swoop? Not me. I think we go for both. But anyway, I spoke at the Ohio State House and I talked about interposition and the fact that we need to defy Roe versus Wade directly. If you would, go ahead and play that clip.
Jurisdiction falls for the governance of murder to those who are closest to the crime. God said, whoever's closest to the crime takes jurisdiction over that crime in the case of murder. So this is a local issue. This is a state issue. And for too long, we've been looking to our people in Washington, D.C. to solve this. And for too long, we have looked to Roe versus Wade and we have bent the knee to that and said, well, if we pass the bill, it'll be unconstitutional. That's what we hear from our legislators behind us. Well, it's interesting that Janet constantly reminds me that every pro-life bill that has been passed in this state house has been challenged as being unconstitutional. That does not take away from their responsibility to do the right thing.
All right, you can end it there. We found this yesterday in our own state house with the Republicans, who are pro-life, run on a pro-life platform, get elected as pro-lifers. Even one of them who's been in the, I won't name him, been in the legislature for decades, brought up this argument, this tired old argument that the dismemberment abortion ban will be found unconstitutional. Can you share with me how do you know that it will be found constitutional or not? And I made this argument, I've made it several times in the past, and it's basically this. We don't want judges to act like legislators. That's called judicial activism. We decry that. We decry the idea that the Supreme Court, for an example, can become a super legislature and simply make law out of thin air. That's what they did with Roe v. Wade. It's unconstitutional what they did. We don't want judges acting like legislators, right? But we also don't want legislators acting like judges. And that's what we have going on here. And that is that even pro-life legislators are saying, well, this will be found unconstitutional. I'm not sure I can support that. That's not their role. That's not their role. Their role is to do what's right. Their role is to uphold the Constitution. When they put their hand on the Bible, and they say they're going to uphold the Constitution. That doesn't include Roe v. Wade. Roe v. Wade's not a constitution. It's not the Constitution. It's an unjust ruling that needs defied directly. Okay? The Constitution is the actual body, the document itself, and the Bill of Rights. That's the Constitution, not court rulings. Those are not the Constitution. And this is an unjust ruling. Therefore, we should not try to line up our pieces of legislation with Roe v. Wade to see if it passes muster or not. That's not, and we find that from our pro-life legislators. They actually talk in terms of Roe v. Wade being constitutional. It's not. It's unconstitutional. But even if it doesn't even matter, it's murder, and it needs to end. And we need to call it murder and act like it is and not worry about the fact that it's going to be found unconstitutional by courts. I mean, we understand that's going to be part of the process, and that's the fight we want to have. We want to have that fight. We want to ignore what's going on and pass it anyway and enforce it in the state of Ohio. So there's my short diatribe. We don't want legislators acting like judges. I call that legislative judicialism. It's a word I've coined that describes what's going on all across the country when it comes to pro-life pieces of legislation. So anyway, folks, here's the deal. Here are your action points for the day. Number one, I want you, if you live in the state of Ohio, I want you to support the Ohio Free Speech Act. The Ohio Free Speech Act, that's HB 363. Call your state house representative in the house right now, that's where it is, and tell them to support the Ohio Campus Free Speech Act. the Campus Free Speech Act. Okay. We are going to be submitting testimony. I hopefully will be testifying eventually on behalf of the bill here soon. We'll have more to report on that. Number two, I want you to support the Ohio Dismemberment Abortion Ban. That is SB 145, which is now in the House of Representatives. It's passed the Senate, now in the House. It's going to get hearings, both proponent and opponent testimony coming soon. And we want you to get behind that one. So to wrap it up, if you don't believe that we're having an effect, just look at the other side. Look at how we are being fought. We are being attacked almost at every step of the way. Currently, this happened a couple years ago. There is a piece of legislation that will never basically be put into law because of the makeup of the legislature called HB 235. It's been reintroduced by pro-abortion Ohio representatives. These are hardcore pro-abortion advocates who have supported this bill. And it's basically what they consider an anti-harassment bill. It's interesting. See, they failed at passing it and with any teeth at the City of Columbus level. And they are failing to pass anything at the ordinance in the Toledo area. So what they want to do is try to go statewide with this. Well, folks, it ain't going to happen because of the makeup of the legislature. But also it's unconstitutional on its face anyway. And they talk about anti-harassment. And how they talk about how this is going to end that at clinics and elsewhere. You know, folks, you can't legislate First Amendment speech. You know, the fact of the matter is that we've had effect out up front of these abortion mills and we've helped to close them down. And that's why they're reacting. That's why they're trying to push this piece of legislation. It's kind of a trial balloon, virtually. It's great. Talking points, it allows them to gin up their base, but that's basically all it'll do. It's not going to do any more than that because of the makeup of the legislature and the fact of the matter that it's just unconstitutional. And why is it that the pro-abortion side, the left, is always trying to restrict speech? Why is it that they are the ones trying to violate our speech? Why is it that they're the ones who want to vandalize our displays? Why is it that they're the ones who act out violently? And why is it that they turn to the government and go to them and go, oh, you know, we can't take it. These people are, you know, they're winning. Their speech is winning. We're losing. So we're going to go to you to try to restrict them. Why is it? Because they don't have a case. Their case falls based on logic and science. It falls based on constitutional arguments and legal arguments. It's a loser. And they're losing, and they know it. And that's why they're going to the extent that they are to try to stop us and other organizations like us around the country, including Students for Life of America. So, folks, support the Campus Free Speech Act in Ohio. That is, once again, HB 363. Just call your Ohio state representative in the legislature and tell them to support the Campus Free Speech Act. And also tell them to get behind the Ohio Dismemberment Abortion Ban for the reasons that I've outlined here today on the program. So, folks, tune in every Thursday here on Facebook and other social media platforms for Created Equal and 1 p.m., that is 1 p.m. Eastern Time, for the Mark Harrington Show, your radio activist and voice of resistance. I'm here every Thursday at 1 p.m. And also, you can pick up the podcast on your mobile device if you choose. We also post that after the program. So thanks for tuning in. God bless you all. Have a great Thanksgiving and holiday. Spend some time with your family and your loved ones. And God bless America. God bless America. And remember, America, to bless God.
You've been listening to Mark Harrington, your radio activist. For more information on how to become a witness against the evil plague in America, call Created Equal at 614-269-7808, 614-269-7808, or go online to createdequal.net. createdequal.net. Be sure to tune to The Mark Harrington Show next time for your marching orders in the culture war.